Appendicitis, geese, and deep dark wells. "Renelda, Renelda, she's dying," Mother muttered miserably as she ran in our house. "How do you know?" I questioned. "We haven't seen her for a long time." "I just got word. My folks had to take her to Richfield. Her appendix broke." "Are we going?" I asked innocently. "No," Ma replied as she started to throw a few clothes in an old bag. "I've got a ride with a man from town who's heading that way." "What about us?" Lottie asked as her heart dropped down to her toes. "Keep an eye on the babies," Ma replied. "Your father's folks will tend you while I'm gone." After what seemed like many days, Lottie said, "I like staying with Grandmother Barney." "I like hanging out with they," I replied, "but I wish Mother would get back so we'll know if everything's all right. Seems like days are too long when we're worrying, and Grandmother Barney has us praying all the time," Lottie said. "It makes me feel better to pray," I said absently, my voice trailing off. Just then we heard the squeaking, honking sound of a car horn. We ran to look just as a new black Ford came in on the dusty road to my grandparents. "I wonder who's coming," I said as I gazed down the dusty road. "Run, Clifford, run!" they shouted. "What's he running for?" I asked in puzzlement. "Should we run too?" "No," they said, shuffling his feet and putting his head down as if he didn't want to tell me the reason he was stalling. "Well, sometimes Clifford doesn't talk plain like us. People make fun of him." "We understand him just fine," I argued. "Mother says he has bad adenoids." "I guess you're right," they said. "When they leave, we'll find him and cheer him up." "I've got some taffy and marbles in my pocket left from earlier," I replied. "Let's eat the taffy now," they begged. "No," I said and stamped my foot. "How would you feel if you had to run and hide all the time?" And later I made sure Clifford got the taffy and the marbles. "Mother and father!" Lottie shouted in excitement. All of a sudden, family members appeared out of nowhere. "What's that awful racket about?" Grandfather asked. Words seemed to tumble out of both my parents' mouths all in a jumble. "It's good to get out of this death trap," Mother said. "Is Renelda all right?" Lottie questioned. "We've been praying for her." "Renelda's gonna live," Mother said, grinning from ear to ear. "Would have stayed longer, but Afton was in a hurry to get back to this dust bowl." "Come see my new car," Father said, ignoring the tremendous news on my sweet sister Renelda. Some of the menfolk and boys gathered around the new Ford. "Wow," they said, rubbing his hand over the smooth new fender. "Afton about killed us trying to learn to drive that thing," Mother complained. "I nearly ran it into the side of the hospital. Your mother had a conniption fit, thinking I'd kill both of us," Father bragged. "Now I can drive as good as anyone." "We about went over the edge of some rugged dugways," Mother alleged. "About scared the living daylights out of me." "What about Renelda?" Grandmother Barney asked. "The doctor and nurse were just packing her stomach when I got there," Mother replied. "Oh, so they had to cut her open," Grandmother sighed deeply. "It's a blessing she lived," Ma said. "We had the elders come in a lot to pray for her." "Who's taking care of her now?" I queried. "My folks will take care of her and take her back to John's Valley," Ma answered. "We've had enough of dying around here," Grandfather said gruffly. "I'm sure she'll be all right." "He's right," I said, thinking of Uncle Freeland. I knew everyone else in our little band of mourners agreed. The cars in Escalante were few and far between. I was torn between admiring the shiny newfangled automobile and hearing more about Renelda. In the end, we were eager to be updated on both exciting adventures and wonderful miracles. The Haycocks lived just around the way from our house. Needless to say, we had our ups and downs with each other. One day in the spring, the year after school, Leon Haycock and I were goofing off. Leon was my sister Lottie's age. "I'm awful hungry," I said. "My mother said she won't feed me yet."
"Me too," Leon replied.
"My mom's out gabbing in the road with your mother."
"They're not arguing?" I asked.
"Not yet," was his laughing reply.
"Well, I got an idea," I said, pulling him away toward the Haycock sheds. "Your mother goose has laid several eggs."
"So," was his reply, "so we're hungry. Your mother won't miss a couple eggs. There's quite a few," I explained.
"She won't?" Leon asked. "Did you ever see her count 'em?" I asked.
"I don't think so. She's too busy," he replied. Shortly after that, I had two large goose eggs frying in hot bacon grease in Mother's kitchen, which Leon and I scarfed down quickly.
"That'll hold us," I said, chuckling at the thought of what we'd just accomplished.
"That goose was really mad at you," Leon said.
"How many times did she peck you?"
"Several. It was worth it," I said happily. The next day it seemed like, well, H.E. double toothpicks had broken loose on both sides of the road as my mother and Leon's mother ranted and raved at each other.
"Wow," I said. "Wonder what's gotten into them."
"It's not good," Lottie said.
"Maybe we should get out of sight."
"Nah, let's watch," Leon said. "I haven't seen my mother this mad for a long time."
"Let's get close," I encouraged. "I don't think they even know we're here."
As we hid behind some bushes, we found out why they were yelling like two banshees.
"I know Orion did it," Miss Haycock stated adamantly.
"Don't think so," Mother shouted. "If it was anyone, it was probably your troublemaker boys. Anyone could have taken your silly goose eggs."
"Maybe so, but Orion seems to always be a ringleader when something happens around here," Ms. Haycock continued.
"Besides that, how do you know any are missing?" Mother interjected.
"'Cause I counted them."
"With all you got to do, when do you have time to count?" Mother said, half sneering.
"Are you calling me a liar?" Leon's mother said, as the ongoing feud continued.
"Well, if the shoe fits," Mother screamed.
"It doesn't fit," Ms. Haycock exclaimed. "You just come over here and fight it out."
"Well, you just crack your whip. You just crack your whip," Mother hollered.
"We'll see who ends up on top."
"Let's get out of here and pretend we never heard any of this," I whispered.
"Did you guys steal those eggs?" Lottie questioned.
We didn't answer yay or nay. It seemed better for Lottie if she didn't know the truth.
"Yeah, we'll get our chores done," Leon agreed. "Maybe this'll blow over."
"I hope so," I said, scampering toward my house with Mother's vivid words resounding in my ears. "You just crack your whip. You just crack your whip."
Funny thing was, I'd never seen Mother crack a whip before. I was quite good friends with Leon Haycock and his siblings. Leon was my sister Lottie's age, so the three of us hung out together quite a bit.
"Let's go fishing,"
I said on a lazy day after school.
"Maybe we could catch some frying fish. They'd taste good for a change," Lottie injected.
"That's a great idea," Leon said. "I'll go get my fishing gear." And off he ran to get his stick with some yarn and a safety pin on the end of it. Much later, Lottie said,
"What a bust,"
as we forlornly walked home.
"Not quite," I injected. "We got a few, just none big enough to fry. Let's get your brother to let me down into the well on a bucket. We'll release him into the water."
"Yeah, maybe they'll grow. We can eat them later," Lottie agreed. Well, I didn't go down in the bucket, but I tossed him into the well as we went by. A month or so later, Leon asked, "Did you ever check those fish you chucked into the well?"
"No, and Mother hasn't mentioned seeing them," I replied.
"Did she know what you did?" he asked.
"Nope," I said.
"My brother's home. Would you like to check on him?" Leon asked.
"Sure would," I replied excitedly.
Well, soon I was standing on a sturdy wooden bucket that was securely hooked to a slivery rope that could give you rope burns if you weren't careful. "That bucket's meant to haul water, not a big kid like you," Leon cautioned, as I carefully steadied my bare feet on the scratchy wood bottom.
"I'll be fine,"
I said bravely, looking down into the now seemed-to-be-bottomless pit of a cold, dank well. "It won't take long to see if any fish are flapping around."
Slowly, Leon's brother let me down into the well, occasionally stopping to get his breath.
"I think you're gaining weight,"
he said laughingly.
"Your mother said I'd grown an inch,"
I shouted up the well proudly. "Well, I haven't," Leon's brother stated, as he secured the rope tightly to make sure I could steady myself.
"You see anything down there?"
Leon asked in anticipation.
"No,"
I replied.
"There's not a ripple in the water."
Unexpectedly, we heard Leon's mother yelling in the distance.
"Oh, no,"
Leon's brother said. "Mother'll skin us alive if our chores ain't done before dinner."
"We'll be back,"
Leon said down the well to me, and they both scampered towards home. Well, abruptly, I realized the awful truth.
They've left me here hanging.
Horrible thoughts ran through my mind. I tried not to swing the rope. I was afraid, but I also realized the fragile bucket was the only thing holding me suspended between life and a watery grave. It seemed like hours that I stood there, maybe an eternity, hoping, praying someone would rescue me, even if it was my father who might beat the living daylights out of me. Unexpectedly, a welcome, familiar voice addressed me from the top of the narrow well.
"Good heavens, child, what are you doing down there?"
Mother asked, her voice shocked and panicky.
"Just get me out of here, Mother. Get me out of here, please,"
I begged as my teeth chattered from the fear and the cold. As Mother pulled me to the safety of the good earth beneath my feet, she exclaimed, "You get to the house and get warm before you catch your death. We'll sort this shenanigan out later." Gratefully, I escaped to the warmth and safety of the house.
New day's coming, as sure as you're born. There's a new day coming, stop tooting your horn. See that new day dawning, let's all knock on wood. Neighbors say good morning, it's about